Welcome to Inside Voice. Join hosts, friends, and voice actors Louise Porter, that's me, and Brad Grahowski as we navigate the freelance world while simultaneously being massive introverts. We ask the age-old question, how do you put yourself out there when literally the last thing you want to do is put yourself out there? Find out what earth-shattering conclusions we come to on this week's edition of Inside Voice. Checking 1, 2, 3.
Check, 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 check.
Like, that looks pretty similar to me.
No, yours looks way bigger.
Okay, well, whatever. We're going to try it for today. Hi, Brad.
Louise, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. We were just talking about our levels. To me, like, I see yours, I don't think it spiked, but like when you said hello, you see it's a lot bigger.
Yeah, and yours were bigger than mine for a long time, so yeah. And now it's a contest now. whose gain can be higher?
Yeah.
I'll just turn mine down slightly because you're right. It does look a little.
Yeah. I mean, you can fix it all after.
I'll just turn it down a notch right now and see.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make less work for you. That's my only concern. That's what I'm concerned about, is how much work
you have
to do.
Sure, you are.
After we hang up.
So this is episode 7.
Seven.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
We're up to 5 on air.
Can we make a commitment? And I think this would be very important to me.
Okay.
That we know definitively what episode it is before we start. Because it's a pet peeve of mine when podcasters are like, is this five or six? I can't, like
did you just call me out?
No. I'm just saying. This is something that it's my own little weird thing.
Yeah.
That I always wish podcasters just knew which episode. Though now that we're in this, I get it, because it's like we just launched 5, but 6 is recorded.
Yeah,
and now
because
we're
a little
7.
Ahead. And the other thing is that you can't see it because I've got the Zencastr software, but because of some tests that I've done, and I haven't erased them, it says I'm on recording 9.
Ah.
So I had to think in my head. I was like, okay, well, we're up to 5 on air. I know I've got to edit number 6 still, not edit. I don't really edit them. I just make them sound pretty as possible.
Yeah. Anyway, that's enough meta discussion. I'm sorry to bring that up.
Yeah, well, yeah. Okay, thanks.
Maybe that's an unrealistic expectation, and maybe there's a reason. Almost every podcaster has a hard time keeping track of
it. Well, now I'm going to be self-conscious about it, so I'll definitely know next time.
So
thanks,
mission
Brad.
Accomplished. Yes. Yeah. All right, let's talk about some real things.
Yeah.
What's going on, man?
Okay, so you are going to VoiceOver Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm going to VoiceOver Atlanta.
And
that's right.
And okay, so for anyone who's either not a voice actor or just doesn't know what VO Atlanta is, it's a voiceover conference. It's from March 7th to 10th at the Hilton Atlanta Airport. I'm reading right off the website.
I was going to say, you have to be reading that because I don't even remember.
The world's largest and longest running voiceover conference. So it's a big deal. And Brad is going, is this your second year?
Yeah.
Yeah, you went last year.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So I guess I wanted to ask you how you're feeling about it. Are you ready? Are you nervous? What's going on?
So, yes and no and kind of, I don't know. I'm excited to go. it's great. The voiceover community is amazing. And I have friends all over the country and in other countries. And this is a great opportunity to get to see a lot of my friends, you know, that I normally only get to communicate with online.
Yeah, that would be so fun. One reason why I would love to go.
It is super fun. And we have and this is like one of the strategies I have for, because it's scary too. You know, it's not a huge conference. It's 1,000 people. But still, it's a very personal a very personal conference. I've been to huge 75,000, 100,000 people conferences, and everyone there is just an NPC, right? You don't interact with them. You don't, unless you're deliberately networking or whatever.
Yeah.
But at VoiceOver Atlanta and other regional conferences as well, there's a lot of regional conferences if you're not in the VoiceOver industry. Just be aware of that. But this is the biggest one. This
for VoiceOvers, there's a lot of regional. Okay.
Yeah. Right. So it's 1,000 people, which isn't huge, but it's 1,000 people that are all sort of interconnected in lots of ways. And you're there, you know, you're there to just make connections and meet people. That's just one of the things you're there for, you know. So it is intimidating. And so one of the things that I decided last year to do is in one of the Facebook groups that I'm in and that we're both in, and I have a bunch of friends, I put out a post. I said, hey, everyone who's going to VO Atlanta, let's start a chat group just for us, just for the people in this Facebook group that are going to VO Atlanta. And so, and I think I talked about this a little bit. And so when I arrived, I had 8 or 10 people that I'd already been talking about, we've been communicating about what sessions you're doing or what we're going to do and when we're going to go, you know, if we could go get dinner together. And so we did that again this year, and it's been so helpful. So I have this group of people. Some of them I met last year and became really, you know, good friends with, and some are new. And so we'll be able to sort of welcome them into this fold. And we ended up going to Waffle House because the nice restaurant next door was like, it was taking us forever to get in. So we just went to Waffle House. So we decided to sort of make that our thing. So on Thursday night, we're all going to Waffle Thursday.
Oh,
night?
Nice!
Yeah, so
nice.
We'll all go to Waffle House. We're doing.
And can you tell everybody who the people are? Do you want to like say their names, like first and last names?
I would have to
get their permission.
Probably. Yeah, I mean it's Troy and Charles the Voice and Charles Bain, Troy Holden, yeah. Charles Bain, and I don't remember.
I forgot to ask Alice. Is she going?
I don't think she was going. I think she's not going. Yeah.
Okay, so Troy Holden for sure, and
So, oh man, I just got derailed.
Sorry, I derailed somewhere. You. Oh my god! So you're going to Waffle House.
So anyway,
House. You're
so
it
I'm
your
excited.
Thing.
Yeah. And we have, and so we're going to Waffle House, and we initiated the Waffle Award, where we all. Well, the idea was that we would all submit the weirdest voiceover we'd ever done, and. In the end, and then we'd vote on who did it, and then the winner would be revealed at Waffle House.
Oh, that's so
House.
Fun.
Yeah.
So you've already submitted your things?
I did,
and then,
yeah. In the end, okay. It was only two of us that submitted, me and Charles the Voice. I don't know how much I can talk about mine. It was... It's just not appropriate. It was like, it started out like, this is weird. And then each thing he booked me to do got weirder and less appropriate. And it just was a kind of, it was about.
Was this the wizard guy?
No, it wasn't the wizard thing, which was also a contender, but this was, it was a diaper fetish thing. I'll put it that way.
Oh.
And it got more graphic, I finally had to say, you know what? I'm uncomfortable with this. I'm cool with whatever, you know what I mean? I'm cool with whatever works for you, man. That's cool. No judgment. Right. And at first, you know how they kind of, I think we've talked, you and I have talked about this before, or you've experienced too, where it starts out just on this side of the line, and then it creeps up to the line, and then it goes over the line. As far as appropriateness.
Yeah. And I feel like you learn over time, you're like, okay, when people are being vague.
Yeah. So there was this diaper thing.
Or if you think something is possibly just for like someone's personal fetish use, if you think that, likely that's what it is.
And then you have to decide
whether you're okay with that or not. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, do what you want to do.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah.
And for me, I started like if it were to go any further with either the wizard thing or the diaper thing, I felt like I'm getting into the territory of feeling like I'm a sex worker, right? Because then you're providing just titillation for somebody's personal use. And I'm just, that's not the right choice for me. No judgment for people who, as far as make a living off of doing that, that's great if you're comfortable with that. But I just got really uncomfortable. And at a point where it crossed a lot the line for me, I was like, you know what? I'm not comfortable doing this. And, you know, then they found somebody else, I imagine.
And so this was the thing you submitted for the Waffle Awards?
Yes. Yeah. So I submitted them everything. And I don't know if I'm going to win because I probably shouldn't talk too much about Charles, but Charles the Voice's submission, but it was for a male performance, not even male enhancement. Without getting graphic.
I'm already laughing. But I think that's 40, all you have to say. I mean,
45 minutes long. It was a video.
45 minutes?
And it was trying to get you to buy a product that increased the volume of production. Let me just put it that way. I don't want to get anywhere.
Yeah.
And it was very like it used all the words.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So I won't be surprised if he wins. Plus mine was just the raw video or raw audio. And it was earlier on when I wasn't, you know, I was less polished as I think I might be now. But his is like in this finished product video, 45 minutes long. So he definitely has me on production value and audio quality.
I'm speechless right now. Like I actually feel a little bit embarrassed. That's okay. Wow. But So, and nobody else.
No.
I feel like this is enough. I feel like people need to submit before tomorrow.
Oh yeah. The deadline was the 29th of February.
So. Yeah. Can you extend the deadline? Troy's got to have something.
If somebody had submitted something else, we would have accepted it. Troy, I'm sure he has something, but maybe he was just too embarrassed to post it or something.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right. Well,
plus he probably, now I feel bad because now I went and blabbed it all on our podcast, but.
Well, yeah, except that people aren't going to hear this until after you're back. So.
Oh, that's true.
It doesn't matter.
I don't think Charles would.
He's not going to mind.
No. Charles, sorry, bud. If it's a problem, let me know. I'll make it up to you somehow. But it won't involve diapers, I promise.
Wow. All right. Well, there you go, folks.
Oh,
and
boy.
Scene.
So I think this... to speak specifically to feeling a lot of pressure and discomfort and anxiety, I think it kind of comes out, right, in weird ways about this adventure tomorrow.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm feeling a little extra punchy, a little extra...
Bold. Definitely feeling bold.
Boy. I hope we didn't...
That was a big share.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like deep personal stuff. It was just this weird job that I did.
There was definitely somebody else's deep personal stuff that we don't know. Ah, boy.
Well, you mean the client, the buyer?
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah, shoot. Maybe I shouldn't have been talking about it.
It's all good. It's funny. So you're doing the Waffle House thing.
Yeah.
And then what else is going on?
Yeah. So and mostly it's a lot of training like sessions where I'm really focusing on the business side of things and marketing and client acquisition. That's really my focus this year. Last year it was e-learning. Like I'm like any session about e-learning, that's what I'm going to take. Whereas this year.
And so who's doing workshops, et cetera, about the business part?
Oh, man. You're gonna
is Mark Scott gonna be there? Because he's
I didn't see him on the schedule this year, come to think of it. If he were, and I'm a huge fan of Mark Scott.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, Mark Scott is a pretty big name in the industry. He's actually Canadian.
Yeah. He's the VOpreneur.
The VOpreneur, yeah, that is his Facebook group, and he's he's Mr. Marketing. Genius.
Mostly a lot of email marketing and
yep.
I didn't see him. Now, I've sat in, I went to his session last year, and I went to his session when I was at Mid-Atlantic Voiceover Conference, and I've listened to, I think, every single podcast he's ever put out and read a bunch of his blog. So if he's going to be there, I don't know if I would necessarily sit in on his session again, just because not that I don't have more to learn from him. I absolutely do. But there's diminishing returns at a certain point, right? Like,
right. It might just be a repetition at that point.
Yeah. And that's not to say he's repetitive.
For you, I mean.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So what else? And then
because they have speakers and they have workshops, right?
Yeah, it's a conference. So there's a keynote speaker. I don't even remember who it is this year. That's another way I sort of deal with the anxiety is I don't. It's weird. So I have two different ways of feeling about it, right? Like either hyper prepare and know everything about it down to the last detail. Like that's what I did last year. Like last year, like a month ahead of time, I knew every session I was going to. I knew who was leading those sessions. I knew what times they were. This year, I'm like, meh. I downloaded the app yesterday and I went through and I, you know, bookmarked the ones that I wanted to go to. And I don't remember who the keynote speaker is. It's like you either over-prepare or just don't worry about it. You know, don't worry about it.
And I think you've been, like you said, you've been once and done this sort of all the legwork and been over-prepared. And now maybe you're just that much more comfortable with what to expect, right?
I think so. Yeah.
It doesn't require quite as much.
Yeah.
And so I'm rabbit holing.
And so I don't have any fear. I know that once I get there, I have friends. I know people from before. I've made a lot of connections since last year. I know I'm going to know a lot of people. I know I'm going to I'm going to get a lot out of the sessions and out of the socializing stuff.
Yeah.
None of that. I'm not afraid of any of that. But you still have this sort of. It's just a pressure, right? Like it's a feeling of I'm going to be walking into this thing and I know it's going to be hard on me socially. I know. And last year was nice because I stayed, my hotel room was in the Hilton where the conference was. This year, my hotel room is just down the street at the La Quinta. I like saying La Quinta.
Nice.
So it's a little bit of a walk. So it's not going to be as easy for me to just go hide in my room as it was last year. But I think I'm okay with that. I think I'll be all right.
Yeah. I just noticed that because I've always got sort of my idols that if I was going to go, I'd be like, ooh, I definitely want to go to either a workshop or hear this person speak. And I just noticed Scott Brick will be there again.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
and what's amazing...
audiobook God for anybody who doesn't know who Scott Brick is. You should know who Scott Brick is.
Yeah. And what's amazing about these conferences is they're small enough and the voiceover community is, it's just so wonderful, just delightful people all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
With very, very few exceptions. And when there are, everybody knows and you just kind of like give them their birth. But you could, and I heard that like people said this before I went to VO Land, and I'm like, yeah, is that really true? Or I would be too intimidated. But you can sit next to Scott Brick at lunch and just like talk about the chicken. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's and so as an crazy. Introvert, I would not do that. Although, okay, here's the thing, because we've talked about is introversion's more about the sort of requirement for being social and being around people, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas I actually think I am an introvert. I also have shyness. And shyness is not the same as introversion.
That's right.
So I think I would not sit next to Scott Brick.
That's what I thought too.
Because I'd be so shy.
I'm not saying I did sit next to Scott Brick, but I got to hang out with Mark Scott and talk to him. I got to hang out with Kevin Kilpatrick and just like chat with him. And it was the blue collar podcast. what was it called before? The Blue Collar Voiceover Podcast. But now it's a different name. Man, come on. Now that I have a podcast, I really would like to be promoting all of the podcasts that have meant a lot to me over the years. It's like
it's
something about
it's
sound.
Kevin Kilpatrick's?
Yeah.
What if I just Google him?
That'd be great. But they do an episode in their hotel room there, and they pull all of the like the top people, like John, you know, JMC Scott Brick, and just like all of the like Mark Scott, like all of the like really important quote unquote people. They pull them all into a hotel room, but they also invite.
Is it Making Waves podcast?
Yeah, that's it. Making Waves podcast. Yeah. That's it. And they invited me up there to just sort of like be in the room. And it was just
so
cool.
That's so fun. I love that idea.
Yeah.
I'm still looking. And so I was telling you, I did 5 weeks of coaching with Tina Marasco from Sound and Fury, and she's going to be there. For those that don't know, Tina Marasco is a casting director and voiceover coach.
Cool. You know what? I'm going to try to figure out who she is and go up and say hi to her and say, you worked with my friend Louise, or my friend Louise worked with you. And I'm going to try and do that and start a conversation with her.
Do it. She's so awesome.
And then I'm like,
okay, Mark Scott's on the list of speakers, so he's going to be there.
Okay, he is. All right.
Yeah.
Maybe I just didn't, you know, because I've seen him so much that.
Right.
Sorry, I had to tweak a technical thing on my end.
Oh, no worries. You dropped out there and I was like, uh-oh, did I lose him?
No. Okay, so I'm excited. I'm anxious. It is impacting my day today, I have to say. It's Wednesday. I fly out tomorrow afternoon. I just feel like I'm under a lot of pressure to get stuff done. I have a bunch of recording I'm trying to get done today.
Yeah.
I got some stuff around the house I need to get done. I knew we had this scheduled for today. I really appreciate your offering to postpone it or whatever, but no, I think we
can. It's fine. And like I said, we don't have to do a full length today.
Yeah.
So what about, I'm pretty sure this woman was big on LinkedIn marketing. Celia Siegel, does that ring a bell?
Yeah, but I don't remember.
So it says she's a talent manager, brand builder, author, and success strategist. And it's a
Celia Siegel management. Well, she just unsubscribed from our podcast because we don't remember. I don't remember who she is.
That's okay. I'm pretty sure she's somebody who's big on LinkedIn marketing as well.
Yeah. Her and Tracy Lindley is huge.
Oh, no. So maybe that's who I'm thinking of is Tracy Lindley.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
but Celia Siegel, I've heard her name as well as somebody who's a good strategist and brand builder. Yeah.
And we're not just dropping names. Like these are people who are have earned their way to importance in the voiceover community and B are genuinely nice, sharing, generous people. Mark Scott, Tracy Lindley, Kevin Kilpatrick. These are all just really great people. And this is good for me to go in to sort of refresh all of these names.
Yeah, and I'm sort of living vicariously through you as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just feel kind of stressed and anxious and.
That's understandable.
Volatile maybe today. And there was some weird, just let's say some changes, some, how would I want to put it? Some unexpected.
Stuff with clients or
yeah. With a client that I'm working with this morning, and he's awesome, great, love him. There were some changes that were needed that weren't expected, and
right,
so that set me
back. Feel like it must be something in the air because I've had a similar week where it's been really busy, but part of the busyness has been kind of a surprising amount of revisions, like more than I'm used to, and it always kind of sends me down the rabbit hole a bit where I start to question whether I'm good at this or not. I'm like, oh, I really didn't do what they wanted me to. And then, you know, I had one client where I sent the revision and then I sent a follow-up today. And I was like, I just want to make sure that, you know, the revision worked for you better. And the response back was basically like, you know, it was much better, but I think maybe you're just not the right voice. And I was like, so I messaged back I was just like, I know that can be true. Like, absolutely. Sometimes you hear something and you're like, oh, that is not what I envisioned. So I just said, you know, if you want, I can do more. Like, it sends you down the rabbit hole sometimes.
I get it. I totally do.
And then also even just getting in front of the microphone, for me, I know I'll just start to get so self-conscious.
Yeah.
And totally get in my own way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it's like, might as well just write the rest of the week off. I mean, not really. But
right.
Yeah, it's just,
yeah,
it doesn't put you
sucks.
In a very good mood.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I hope you do understand that you are good at this, though, right? I mean, we have objective evidence that you're good at this. And like, not every voice is right for every job. And that's not, like, not being the right voice for something isn't a reflection on your skill or ability, right? Like, you know this.
Or it is, and it's like a genre thing, I'm in that mood of just like, oh.
I know. You've been an actor for a long time. I know you get this, like, you know. And I'm not trying to invalidate your feelings. I'm just trying to say, hey, underneath all of that, just remember.
Yeah.
That.
And I think maybe part of it too is that voiceover, you know, much like kind of any art form, as much as, of course, this is a business, but the actual voiceover part of it is an art.
Yeah.
It's a skill, but it's an art. That part of it seems very subjective.
And
right?
Very emotionally engaged. Emotions are involved, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
What one person likes, somebody else might hate.
Yeah. I see what you mean.
It's just, and it can be very hard then to, as the performer, the person doing the job, is like to be able to step back and listen to it objectively and go, okay, am I meeting the specs? Am I doing, you know, what was asked, what was directed, you know, what's in the script, all those things, but it's you at the same time. So it's also your interpretation of things. And
yeah,
it's just, it can be hard sometimes. And sometimes it seems way harder than it should be.
Yeah, it absolutely. And it's easy for me to say, come on, Louise, you know, you're good. But I just turned in a job and I did 3 takes and he's like, okay, this is great. I think we're going to go with the second take. And I'm like, well, what was wrong with the first and the third take? So
this job that I'm specifically talking about, I did an ABC role and he still came back and was like, that, you know, can you try it like this? And I was like, sure. It's hard not to take it personally. I mean, of course, sensibly and intellectually, I know it's not personal, but it's still you, right? You're the one.
Doing it.
So yeah, it's just,
did you offer the idea of a directed session? Cause we're in a weird, like, this is a new era for voiceover, right? Like,
yeah,
until 8 years ago, maybe even 5 years, maybe even 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, most voiceover was done in a studio with an engineer and a director, and you went into the studio to do it. Now we live in a world where voiceover is done in your home, in your own studio. You get the script, you self-direct.
Yeah.
Which is super hard to do.
And often you're being booked on demos or previous work samples and not on auditions. Like, it can be a bit of both.
And you're being booked by people who don't have experience booking voice.
Sometimes
actors,
that's the case,
you know.
Too. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so what they think they want even might not be what we understand to be current or sort of desirable within the marketplace.
Yeah.
And their idea might be, it just might be off from that. So it can be hard to decipher. But in answer to your question, did I offer a directed session? So I haven't yet. What I did say was, he had basically given me the one version of the voiceover in another language.
Mm.
And so I was trying to come close to what that was,
mm-hmm.
In terms of sort of feel and tone and all the things. And then when he came back and asked me for the retake, he was like, make sure you watch the video because that'll really give you an indication of what I wanted to sound like.
Oh,
and
man.
I was like, oh, that is so interesting that he, oh, there's a garbage truck out back. I hope that might make it into the recording.
Right.
It's so interesting that he didn't hear me, like he didn't think that I'd listen to the, and I'd watched
right.
the video like multiple times.
Yeah. You're like, oh, gee, thanks for the tip. Like, didn't think of that.
It wasn't even that. It's like I've had that situation before where yeah. in coaching sessions too, where people would be like, okay, well, make sure you pay attention to X, Y, and Z. And I'm in my head, I'm like, I am. See, this comes back to what we were talking about before, about humility uh-huh. and ego, because sometimes you think that you're doing the thing that is being asked of you, acting wise, and all it is you're thinking it. It's not coming through.
Yep.
So that's yeah. where I had to step back and go, okay, maybe even though I thought I was doing this like exactly what he wanted from his video example, I wasn't. So I went back and I did it again. He said it was better. So now what I've suggested is there something else that exists like sort of in English that you think is closer mm-hmm. to what you want to hear from this? And I'll see what he says. But I think a directed session is a great idea too, but at the same time, he might not want to do that. Like he might just want to move on and
yeah.
find a voice that's, you know, and I respect that.
And that's too bad, but
yeah,
and sometimes they'll like, you know, you'll audition and they'll hear you and they'll think, oh yeah, that's the voice I want. But then when you get into it and then they realize that they want something different, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
I'm not saying you shouldn't feel your feels. At the same time, try not to take it personally because it's not about your skill or how good you are at it or whatever. It's just not.
Yeah. And I think it is important to sort of highlight like this kind of profession has so much more rejection mm-hmm. than not.
Oh, yeah.
There was somebody posted in one of the groups a couple of days ago about, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was something like, maybe I should just give up and I'm not good at this. I've had like 10 auditions or 10 rejections.
No, I saw exactly
that. Did you see it?
Yeah.
And so all of us, of course, are like, what? How does this person not understand that that's not even a drop in the bucket in terms of rejection?
Yeah.
But if you're new, you might not know that. And anyone who's listening who isn't in this industry or an actor might not understand that either. It's like,
yeah.
You might need to put in, you know, 30, 40, 50, 100 auditions before
auditions.
You book something.
200.
Yeah, depending on where you're starting. Like I heard one person said when they first started, you know, they put in 1,000 auditions before they got a role,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it's not unheard of. I mean, that might be a bit
That's
more
right.
to the extreme. I'm not sure, but.
The super like cynical side of me saw that post and wanted to say, if you auditioned 10 times and didn't get cast and that's a problem for you, then this isn't the right job for you. Like if you don't have the patience to get rejected 10 times, you really yeah. should go find something else to do. I don't really feel that about that person. They just didn't understand.
Well, and it's
right?
hard to know but, from a Facebook post what the
exactly.
background is and
yeah,
what
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, so much is lost in terms of context when people are posting online. And it may just be something that was really reactionary for someone who was totally new, where they're just
yeah.
like, you know, freaking out. But
and to be honest, some of the YouTube channels and podcasts and stuff, they kind of paint the picture that's you know, you get a USB mic and you can make six figures by talking into a microphone. I mean, that's.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of that
if you
circulating.
Don't know, if you
make
don't
money
have
in your pajamas. Yeah.
If you
I'm
don't
actually
have
in
a
my
good,
pajamas, but what,
no,
I'm not. Yeah.
If you don't have a good filter for BS, like. you know, and on top of that, you see there are people who do have, just by some weird, they were the right voice at the right time and they got the right job and that led to something else.
Like the overnight
success
stories.
There are people who do succeed very quickly. So you can't say it's impossible. You know, like
it's not
to like
norm.
Have quick success, but
those
it's
are anomalies.
Absolutely not the norm. And a lot of the people who we've known that have had that situation lasted 6 months because, or a year, because they got success super fast. But then when that doesn't last, and then when you really have to work for it, when you have to really dig in and start auditioning and doing marketing, and you're like, why do I have to do all this crap? I'm like, I'm awesome at this. And then they get frustrated and then they
can't keep up with demand. I mean, a lot of businesses that grow too quickly, fold. Yeah. So
problems I'd like to have, but whatever. Actually, something you mentioned brought to mind a conversation I wanted to have, but changing gears. It's VO related.
Okay.
I think people will go there with me. When you said that he had sent you the sample video, but it was in another language. So my wife loves the show Love is Blind. Are you familiar with it?
So I've heard people talk about it on the internet, but I've never seen it, seen a snippet of it. I don't
super
really
simple,
know what it is, other than maybe it's like a blind date type thing.
So super simple. It's a quote unquote sociological experiment, but it's not like a science. It's not like they don't have control groups. It's not like scientifically done, but it's still kind of interesting in concept. So they have a group of, you know, men and a group of women in their 20s and 30s, and they keep them separated, but they have these like pods where the dude will go in the pod on one side and the woman will go in the pod on the other side, and they can hear each other, but they can't see each other.
That's like, there was a dating game in the 80s on TV that was like this.
Yeah. But this is like that times 1,000, because they're like in this environment for like
describe
weeks.
Your perfect date, bachelor number one. Not like that. Better.
No, they're in this environment for like weeks. They like live there and they go on dates with the different potential partners.
Got it.
It's all heterosexual, but it's all men and women. So whatever. So they really kind of get to know each other without seeing what each other, they don't know what each other looks like. They don't know each other outside of this very sort of rarefied, confined environment situation. And they get to know each other. They sort of pick the person that they think they're the best match with. And then the idea is that they then propose to them for marriage. And then then once they've proposed, if the other person accepts, then they're engaged. And then they meet each other and they have this weird sort of ceremony, not ceremony, but this sort of like thing where they're across this beautiful room. And then the doors go up and then they cross and they come together to like meet for the first time physically. And some of them just like stop there and, you know, but most of them, then they go on a vacation together and then they live together for a few weeks and then they meet each other's family and friends and then they decide whether or not they want to actually get married. And a lot of times the decision happens at the altar, right? Like, and this is all real, quote unquote, reality TV. So it's all televised and there's cameras through the whole thing. And it's sort of, very amplified because of all that. And sometimes they wait up until they're actually
heavily edited, somewhat scripted,
Yeah. And they're actually at the altar and one or the other of them will be like, yeah, no, I thought this was good, but I'm out.
Yeah. It's a no for me.
Yeah. So all of that to say, my wife loves this show. I watch it over her shoulder sometimes or if she's watching it and I just kind of sit in and watch with her. But she also loves the foreign version. So they had, I think, Love is Blind Sweden, and we just watched Love is Blind Japan. I watched some of it with her. So the people are all speaking their native languages, but it's dubbed by American voice actors for the American audience.
Okay.
I you'd think I would be a huge fan of dubbing because I'm a voice actor. I like foreign movies and stuff. Dubbing really gets on my nerves. I really have a hard time watching.
I hate
watching.
It. I've never liked dubbing. I'd much rather the subtitles.
Yeah. And maybe because I can't let go in my mind the image of the voice actors in the studio at their, you know, on their Neumann U30, what's the big Neumann mic? You know, I know what mic they're using. I know what the studio looks like there. And I just can't get that out of my mind while I'm watching. But for some reason, it's fun. I don't know. I won't say it works in Love is Blind, but it's fascinating to watch and to think about the decisions that the American voice actors are making to sort of match what they're seeing on the screen. And I'm just super curious about how much direction they get and how much,
for a show like that, for sure. They're being directed.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But how much time they spend watching the show in Japanese to kind of understand the character they'll be playing. It's just got to be a really, really strange, but probably enjoyable, and it probably pays pretty well, gig to be the American dub voice because they're not trying to do lip flaps or anything like that. And one thing that helps is they leave their audio in. So you can hear them underneath the American dubbing, right? You can hear their talking underneath in Japanese, but you mostly hear, and that helps because it's not like trying to like create an illusion that they're speaking in English. That would be weird, right?
Right.
It's clearly a translation over what they're saying in their own language. And because they're Japanese, half of them speak English anyway. So there would be sections where they would be speaking in English. But it was just super fascinating watching that and listening and thinking what a weird but cool gig that would be.
And I also think dubbing is hard for the obvious reason of just trying to sync words that are not the same shape as the words being spoken. But the other thing, I think the even harder part is languages and cultures just differ. So things literally get lost in translation.
Yeah, especially from Japanese to English. Asian languages to Western languages, it's just like, it's almost like a different
philosophy. Like a different language?
Yeah. It's almost like a different language. It's a whole different philosophy.
You might as well be speaking Japanese.
That's right.
Yeah. No, I see what you're saying too.
You know, it's
culturally,
weird.
It's very different. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting culturally watching the differences too. That was one of the things that I did enjoy about the show. I used to do bonsai and kendo, and I took Japanese in college. So I'm like kind of a fanboy of Japanese culture, the new culture, and even more so like the traditional culture. So it's very interesting to me. I'm not pretending I have any insight into Japanese culture that most people don't, but I find their culture really interesting and fascinating. So that was really interesting for me to watch. It also made me think, I'm kind of wandering off the path here, but if Western culture hadn't been introduced to Asian cultures, how much different they would even be. Because now they're like pulling all of this stuff, you know, and that's fine. You know, what they like of Western culture, they're pulling into their culture and stuff. But it also, watching this made me think, what if they had remained isolated, or if the West just didn't exist? What would their culture be like? Like, it would be much, much different, I think.
That is such a big question, because that's like, you could say that about any culture.
That's true.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And there are so many influences that are like colonialist.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when you're American, or North American, I should even say, I think Canadian is similar. You kind of have, you're surrounded by our culture. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with that, but.
We started off talking about dubbing, and now we just walked into a completely different.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Arena.
But anyways, I was fascinated watching the work that was being done. And sometimes, you know, you see voiceover and you see the work being done, and I think that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. One thing I find interesting about dubbing too is the rates, at least the rates listed on the GVA rate guide, like they're not very good.
I know.
Rates.
I feel
and
like,
I don't know if it's different, like if you're in, you know, the union in the States or like, I don't know how any of that works, but my God, it takes so much skill to have it pay so little.
Yeah. And you listen to, you know, the folks that are doing all of the dubbing for the anime stuff that's coming into the country and have been doing it for years, like Crispin Freeman and those guys.
Right.
Like, it just doesn't, like, it sounds like it would be so hard to build a career doing that. Like, because you have to live in, you have to live in LA if you want to do, like, normal animation.
Well, and I guess, too, the other thing is if you're a celebrity voice, your pay rate is so much different. It's not, it's
yeah,
not a
but
GVA
listen, talking to these guys,
rate.
It's not, like, it's not
what?
Like, yeah, they're not, like, making, you know, $2 million a movie sort of thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they have to go to conventions to make the ends meet. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they have to get paid to go to conventions to make ends meet and to sell merch and stuff like that. Like,
wow.
It's not like, you know, you're, and I think it depends.
To make
I'm
ends
on my
meet,
butt
or is
here,
that
but,
part of their contract? I don't, maybe that's part of them promoting. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about it, but yeah.
I just know from listening to Crispin Freeman's podcast and man, I need to show up with the names written down. If I knew ahead of time. he and his wife, they do a lot of animation. They wrote a really good book on voiceover.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, if I remember. but, you know, it's like they make a living. Don't get me wrong. But it's not like they're. It's not like they're driving their Lambos around, you know, like.
Right.
It's a different industry than on screen, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm talking out of my bum because it's not like I'm just.
You don't know their actual personal financial situation or what they get paid.
I'm only speaking from my understanding based on listening to what people are saying about that industry. And it's an industry that I think would be fun, but I'm not really that interested in it.
In
I've
dubbing,
tried doing a,
you mean?
Yeah.
Or.
Yeah, I've tried doing a little dubbing and trying to match.
I've done a little
tiny
bit for little short films, and it's just so difficult.
It's so frustrating and so difficult. And yeah.
And even for, you know, I always wonder, too, the engineering side of dubbing. Like, it's similar to ADR, which is when the actors have to go into the studio to re-record something that didn't come out correctly in the original shoot. Like, I don't understand how engineers, and I'm sure there are some that are really good at it, but it must take so much time and effort that maybe it can't be done all the time. But it's like the sound of being in a studio is a lot different than the environments that you're seeing on screen, right? So whether that environment might be someone is outside or someone is in a cafe, or, you know, even if they put in all of those, the sort of background noise and the walla that goes along with it, like the actual voice sound between a studio and like real life is so much different. So it can be really distracting. Like I now notice we'll be watching a show and I'll notice whether something is ADR or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can hear it immediately. You're like, well, that's not what it sounds like if someone's outside.
I know. Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah,
it's quite the skill. But anyways, we're coming up on 48 minutes,
and
you've got to get ready to go to VO Atlanta,
so
which is so exciting. I'm so excited for you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. I just need to get through the next 20
minutes. No,
the next 20 hours.
Yeah. And are you flying or driving?
Yeah. Oh, no. It's too far to drive. I'm in
How
Baltimore.
Long a drive would it be?
What would it be to Atlanta? I'm going to guess. I'm going to look it up. But while I'm looking up, and I'm going to guess 12 hours.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't think I realized it was
Atlanta,
that
Georgia,
far from you. Maybe Russian. I was thinking it's closer to Troy because he's in Tennessee.
Yeah. Troy's like 3 or 4 hours away.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He's closer. Yeah.
I was close. 10 hours, 15 minutes, 11 oh, hours. Okay. Yeah. So I was really close. I mean, you got to stop for lunch, so that adds an hour. So, you know, an 11 hour drive, you'd have probably stopped for more than lunch.
But. Gotcha. All right. Well, safe travels and enjoy. And I guess we need to do our spontaneous end tagline.
I just thought of one a few minutes ago. You ready?
Sure you did. Did you pre-write this?
Because
that
did not.
Gets disqualified.
No. I forgot to even think about it until just a few minutes ago.
Okay. Okay.
It will show. You'll hear.
Okay.
What'd you say? I can't hear you. You're using your inside voice.
No.
No.
I hate it.
I hope you hate it.
That is a hard no.
Plus, it's the opposite of everything we're trying to express. How about this? What? I heard you completely clearly, even though you're using your inside voice.
You are feeling spicy today, hey? You're just like, you're being a shit disturber.
I'm being very vulnerable. That's what I'm feeling today. Very vulnerable.
Is that what that is?
And very open. And
so your reaction is just like rail against it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That wasn't meant to be malicious, though. It was just meant to be.
Oh,
like,
I wasn't suggesting okay. It was. It's okay. Funny to me.
Okay. So what's yours? Yours better be pretty freaking good, though.
Suggesting that I thought of anything? Just because I'm criticizing your ideas doesn't mean I have any of my own.
Oh, boy. We haven't gotten any email, by the way, with any suggestions. So if anyone in the audience is feeling critical right now, y'all need to not, because...
Critical or just inspired by what, I'm not sure. something independent of this episode. let's see. How about... Okay, I got it.
Okay.
Don't be shy. The world needs your inside voice.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. Don't be shy. The world needs your inside voice. Okay.
So let's think about who's going to say, so I want you to whisper inside voice this time.
Okay.
So it'd be, don't be shy. The world needs, and then you say,
your inside voice. Yeah, your inside voice. Okay, let's try that.
Okay. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Don't be shy. The world needs
your inside voice.
Yay!
Yeah, how about that?
Okay,
we're getting better at coming up with taglines that we're probably not going to use.
I mean, I think that's the first one I've come up with since episode one. I think you've come up with all of the other ones because you put me on the spot and you were like, "Okay, Mrs. Critical, think of something." Yeah,
that's fine. I certainly hadn't noticed that, so.
Okay. I'm going to listen back to the ends of all of the episodes
right,
and see. I'm going to create a spreadsheet because we all know how much I love spreadsheets.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's say it one more time so we can sign off and
I forget it already. Oh, I got it. Yeah. Okay.
My part's easy.
Don't be shy. The world needs
your inside voice.
Yay. Hey. Bye, Brad.
Bye, Louise.
Thanks for joining us on this week's episode of Inside Voice. If you have a topic suggestion, a question, or would like to challenge your introverted self by being interviewed on the podcast, email us at connect@theinsidevoicepodcast.com.